for traders who crave risk. Direction's daily leveraged and inverse ETFs provide opportunities to magnify short-term perspectives with daily 3x and 2x leverage or inverse leverage. Utilize bull and bear funds for both sides of the trade and trade through rapidly changing markets. These are highly leveraged ETFs with a daily resetting designed for short-term trading, not long-term investing. Whether you're a bull or a bear, you choose the direction. For up-to-date pricing and performance, go to direction.com. Investing in the funds involves significant risk and should only be utilized by investors who understand the impact of leverage and actively monitor their portfolio. They are not designed to track the underlying index for more than a day. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at direction.com. Read carefully. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
Well, the genesis of the 60-40 split between stocks and bonds is rooted in the potential for higher returns than simply owning bonds alone. It's also designed to simultaneously reduce portfolio drawdowns and volatility associated with an all-stock portfolio. Today's ETF battle features an audience-requested contest between a 60-40 ETF with souped-up exposure going up against a straight S&P 500 ETF from Vanguard. So, which ETF is the better choice? Find out right after this. Welcome to ETF Battles. I'm Ron DeLegge, and it's good to see you again. If there's an ETF battle that you'd like us to do, send me your ETF ticker symbols in the comment section below or on our Twitter feed at ETF Guide. We could do double, triple, and quadruple headers. We can also do mutual fund to ETF battles, as well as mutual fund to close-end fund to ETF battles. So make it good. Now be sure to visit the description section below. We've got research links to our judges, as well as viewer resources. And it'll also, in that area, find a link to our program sponsor, Direction. Today's ETF contest was sent to us by a viewer by the name of Viver. He wanted to see NTSX from WisdomTree go up against VOO from Vanguard. And the fund recently changed its name. That's NTSX from WisdomTree. And our judges are going to dive into the actual strategy of it in a second. Viver, thank you so much for sending us this ETF battle request. Be sure to visit the description section below to claim your prize. You'll get your choice of an ETF battle's coffee mug or a shirt. Judging today's contest is Dave Krinsis with ETF Portfolio Management and David Durking with TheStreet.com. Guys, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
Ronnie D. Hey, Dave. Great to see you both.
So our four battle categories are cost, exposure strategy, performance, and then we've got our mystery category. That's where you, our judges, can decide which factor or multiple factors you think is pertinent to today's contest. And it, who knows, that may be a crucial choice in today's contest. We'll have to see. Our judges can also nominate wildcard ETFs if they feel there's better choice elsewhere, or they can opt for split decisions. I've got the scorekeeping chores, and at the end of the program, I will declare an overall winner. Keep in mind, none of the battle outcomes are ever predetermined or known in advance by myself or our judges. So let's kick things off with the first category. It's cost, and we're going to start with you, Dave Krinsis. Give us your analysis.
In this core equity battle, we have a top S&P 500 ETF in VU versus a levered 60-40 fund. Now, the unlevered S&P here is much cheaper at 3 basis points, and the levered fund is almost 7 times that cost at 20 basis points. However, NTSX can deliver lower risk at times because it has bond exposure. So on a value-adjusted basis, I call the cost a split decision.
David Durking, you're up next. Give us your analysis when it comes to cost.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty easy one. VOO at 3 basis points is the pretty clear winner here, in my opinion. But as my fellow Dave mentioned, getting levered 60-40 exposure from the WisdomTree fund actually ratchets it up to a 90-60 exposure using futures contracts. So getting all that at 20 basis points is actually a pretty good deal. But on pure expenses alone, I'm going to go with VOO as the winner on this one.
That takes us next to exposure strategy. And David, you're still up, so please break it down for us.
Yeah, this is sort of your traditional 60-40 portfolio. It's large caps and the equity sleeve, and then a variety of treasuries on the 40% fixed income sleeve. But it uses futures contracts on the treasury position instead of buying treasuries outright. And because it does that, it's able to lift the exposure up to 1.5x. So you've got 90% equity exposure, 60% treasuries for the same value as a traditional asset allocation fund. So me personally, I'm not a big fan of the futures exposure. It's just not something I personally use, but this fund actually has tracked pretty well, both the equities and the treasury side of things. The treasury futures, because you have to roll those over, it does add to the cost a little bit, so it may not track perfectly. But I actually do kind of like the way the 90-60 is structured here. I think it's done pretty well over the long term. VOO obviously is just S&P 500. I think everybody knows about that. So I'm going to give the slight advantage to VOO just because it's just pure S&P 500 exposure at a really cheap price. And for most investors, that works really well.
Dave Krinsis, you're up next. Give us your analysis on exposure.
Having 150% of mixed exposure is actually often lower risk than 100% in the S&P. During the fourth quarter 2018 down market, NTSX fell by a little less, outperforming the S&P by 2%. And in the first quarter 20 pandemic corona crash, NTSX fell less again, outperforming the S&P by 6%. However, there are occasions when investors need protection from bonds. Just last year in 2022, bonds crashed along with stocks in a rare event where they both crashed at the same time. And this resulted in NTSX falling by 26%, which was 8% worse than the S&P. So this means investors have been significantly underestimating the potential risk in bonds and risk assets in general. Now, the concept of using leverage on a safer portfolio is very popular, and we show that strategy in ETFPM's investable benchmark portfolios. So I do love the concept, although we do add active overriding risk controls to protect principal in a crash. And many ETF battle viewers know that I believe the NASDAQ 100 is the next generation S&P. And we prefer to allocate to the NASDAQ 100 for core diversification whenever possible. So I call this exposure category a split decision.
Next up is performance, and it's already been alluded to by our judges, but Dave Krinsis, you're still up. Please elaborate more on your view of performance between these two funds.
Well, for performance, this graph shows over the past 5 years since inception, NTSX delivered 56% versus 71% for the S&P. The key to beating the S&P long-term has been through better technology exposure and risk control. Early this year, we reported that ChatGPT became the fastest growing app of all time, reaching 100 million active users in less than 3 months. TikTok took 9 months and Instagram took 2.5 years. This prompted NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang to declare an iPhone moment for artificial intelligence. And many tech leaders have been shocked by the new rate of innovation, even begging for faster government regulation of AI. Now, the NASDAQ 100 has rallied strongly. QQQ is currently down just 6% over the past 1.5 years since the start of 22. The S&P and NTSX are both still down 5 and 15% respectively. But experienced investors know short-term trends can be misleading and somewhat random at times. It's far more effective to focus on long-term data. And over the past decade, the NASDAQ 100 returned 462%, which was more than double the S&P. And the top leveraged equity ETFs have been phenomenal. The 3x NASDAQ 100 TQQQ delivered almost 28 times your money, which was 12 times the S&P return. And investors have noticed TQQQ now has $15 billion in assets. And prior to the 2010 launch of TQQQ, investors never had a diversified equity ETF with this much growth potential. Now, the risk in wildcard TQQQ is exponentially greater than NTSX or the S&P, but on a value-adjusted basis, I still give the core equity performance win to the American Dream ETF TQQQ and the unlevered versions QQQ and QQQM, all of which we own. And in their absence here, I give the performance win to the S&P 500 VOO.
David Durkin, you're up next on performance. How do you see it?
Well, I agree 100% on the absolute performance. VOO over the past 5 years has beaten NTSX because obviously the bond exposure of that fund has detracted from performance. So on an absolute basis, VOO is the winner. But I think it's probably better to judge NTSX against more of a traditional 60-40 portfolio just to see if the leveraged exposure has actually been worth it. And if you look at the performance over a few different 60-40 benchmarks, I looked at both a mutual fund and an ETF out there. NTSX does outperform since inception on both of those funds, which is a good thing. That's kind of what you'd expect with the extra exposure to both stocks and bonds there. So I think you have to judge this kind of on a risk-adjusted basis. And if you look at the Sharpe ratio of NTSX against a couple of traditional 60-40 portfolios, the Sharpe ratios are about the same across the board. Now, obviously, you'd like to see superior risk-adjusted performance, but in the case of NTSX, I think it's just as good to see in Sharpe ratio that's the same, because it essentially means that the added risk that comes with the 90-60 portfolio is actually being compensated with the appropriate return that you're getting for it. In both cases, it's about 50% riskier, and you've got about 50% added return. Now, with the caveat, of course, that's over history. Anything could happen in the future, and that could change. But I think it's a good thing that NTSX is kind of the added risk has been appropriately compensated with return. Shareholders would be getting the lift on both performance and risk. So I think this is an interesting tool that shareholders could add to their portfolios. If they want to stick with the traditional 60-40, I think it works. But if they just want to lift up the risk and return potential a little bit, NTSX has demonstrated historically, at least, that it's been able to do that. So I'm going to give the slight edge here to NTSX just because I think based on what it's trying to do historically, it's been able to deliver that. So it trails the S&P 500 on an absolute basis, but I think kind of based on what it's been able to do relative to what it's supposed to do, I think it gets the slight edge for me.
Thank you, David, for that outstanding analysis on performance. Let's shift next to the mystery battle category. And this is where our judges can pick one factor or multiple factors that they feel are pertinent to today's contest. So, David Durkin, what is your mystery battle category and which of these two ETFs wins it?
Yeah, I'm going to sort of lump this mystery category into cycle timing, I'll call it, because I think over the last several years, people have declared the 60-40 portfolio dead. And I think that's pretty much been a factor of the fact that the Fed has dropped interest rates to zero. And it's been that way for the last several years. Long-term treasuries have yielded about 2%. So there just haven't been options for investors to generate yield on their portfolio. So you've had people shifting into dividend equities and even high yield bonds and really stretching out the duration of their fixed income positions just to get whatever extra yield they could. So it's basically turned into equities or nothing. That 40% fixed income allocation was almost kind of dead in the water for the last several years. Obviously, in the last year, that's changed. The Fed funds rate is up by about 5%, and now you can get a 5% yield on what's effectively a risk-free treasury bill. So before, investors could kind of ignore fixed income. Now they have to consider it again because the risk-reward potential really has improved quite a bit on the fixed income side of the equation. So the way to basically summarize that is that the 60-40 portfolio can work again, and investors really need to consider the risk-reward of equities versus fixed income, depending on how they want to position their portfolio. And I think over the next year or two, it seems like there's a real risk of recession here, and correlations traditionally turn negative between stocks and bonds in those types of environments. So I think you could really get some a diversification benefit here, some risk mitigation potential if you sort of go back to that traditional 60-40 portfolio. So based on all that, I'm going to give the edge in this category to NTSX. I think everybody knows what you get with VOO and your equity exposure. But because I think the 60-40 portfolio is really a consideration, I think the that allocation has really become more attractive again, I'm going to give the edge to NTSX.
Dave Krinsis, you're up next. What is your mystery battle category, and which of these two ETFs wins it?
Well, Ron, you know my mystery category is always position size, because that's the key to catching amazing growth trends. At ETFPM, we could allocate up to 100% of our tactical portfolios in the S&P or NTSX, but we strongly favor the NASDAQ 100. And since TQQQ is 3x levered, we would typically limit that exposure to 60%. So on position size, I give the win to the unlevered NASDAQ 100 wildcards QQQ and QQQM. And in their absence here, I call it a split decision.
Now we've moved to the part of the show where our judges get to give us their final overall battle winner. So Dave Krinsis, you're up. Who is your battle winner in today's showdown?
Well, the most important factor in core diversification today is your technology exposure. And one of the biggest risks of AI may be underinvesting. We believe this phase of the AI bubble could fuel many shocking new market highs over the next 5 years through 2028. Still, technology can be bumpy, and far more so with 3x leverage. TQQQ fell by 82% over 13 months last year, and it fell 73% in just 1 month during the first quarter 20 pandemic corona crash. So be super careful, take extra small baby steps with leverage, and remember to only use leverage when you're making money. And just two more quick points. First, it's interesting to see the leveraged ETFs here delivered more than their target multiple over 10 years, but were disappointing over the shorter periods. This highlights how much you want to avoid using leverage in down markets. So we do employ active risk controls. And lastly, another shocking trend to highlight is the FANG plus 3x ETN, FANGU, FNGU. Over the past 4.9 years, FANGU delivered 222%, which was far ahead of the American Dream ETF. However, FANGU is concentrated in just 10 stocks, making it more of a satellite portfolio position, like the 3x technology sector fund, TECL, and the 3x semiconductor, SOXL, all of which we have been trading. So for this diversified equity battle, I give the win to the NASDAQ 100 wildcards, QQQ, QQQM, and TQQQ. And in their absence, I call this battle a Ronnie D favorite split decision.
Thank you very much, Dave. David, your last chance to weigh in with your overall battle winner. Give it to us.
Yeah, in most of these battles that involve VOO or most Vanguard funds, I think it's easy to call that one the winner just because it's usually very broad exposure. It's about rock bottom price, very few basis points on expense ratio at all. So I would say that's usually the winner, but I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised when I was looking through NTSX, because I sort of shy away from any fund that uses leverage to kind of ratchet up their exposure, because in a lot of cases, that added leverage and the cost that goes with it, just shareholders don't get the payoff from that. They end up taking more risk and not getting the appropriate return. But this fund is actually one of those that actually delivers on kind of what its objective is, which is to pretty much lift the risk by about 50%, but it actually delivers the appropriate return, historically at least, for that risk. So in that case, I think it's a really interesting fund to keep on the radar if you're someone who is long-term focused and wants to maintain that balance between stocks and bonds, but you want to sort of take a little bit of a chance and ratchet up your exposure a little bit. I think this is a fund that really can't be dismissed just right offhand. I think it's something that should at least be considered. And at 0.20% expense ratio, you're actually getting the strategy for pretty cheap. So I'm actually going to give the slight edge in this battle to NTSX because I think we have to judge by what the fund has done to this point. To this point, it's worked well. It's delivered as it's promised, and it's kind of a unicorn in the ETF space. So from that standpoint, I kind of like it, and I'm going to give it the win.
Well, our judges have spoken, and according to my battle scorecard, today's final winner is going to be a split decision, and we had NTSX, which was favored by David Durking, and he liked it for all the reasons he explained. He liked the relatively low expenses for the strategy, also the slight leverage that it does use on that 60-40 portfolio, which ends up resulting in a 90 equity, 60 bond mix. And look at the historical performance. Of course, none of us knows what the future will hold, but it has delivered some very, very competitive results compared to VOO. And then Dave Krinsis favoring other leverage solutions. TQQQ was his favorite choice. Of course, that uses triple daily leverage on the NASDAQ 100. And for those of you that don't want to use any leverage, he opted for QQQM as well as QQQ, the triple Qs, which basically do the same thing for a slightly higher expense ratio. But nevertheless, I think our judges made some strong arguments in favor of their specific strategies. And I think at the very least, we've shed some light on some ETF opportunities that you may have missed or overlooked. And I want to thank both of our judges for doing a usually outstanding job with today's analysis. Guys, great job and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks, Dave.
And thanks, Dave. Happy summer, everyone.
Well, be sure to visit the description section below. We've got links to both of our judges. We also have links to viewer resources that can help you to hopefully improve your investment results, as well as a link to our program, Sponsor Direction. So again, hit the description section below. Which ETF battle would you like to see in our next episode? Give us your ETF ticker symbols in the comment section below or on our Twitter feed, at ETF Guide. I'm Ron DeLegge. Thanks for watching ETF Battles. We'll see you next time.
For traders who crave risk, Directions Daily Leveraged and Inverse ETFs provide opportunities to magnify short-term perspectives with daily 3x and 2x leverage or inverse leverage, utilize bull and bear funds for both sides of the trade, and trade through rapidly changing markets. These are highly leveraged ETFs with a daily resetting designed for short-term trading, not long-term investing. Whether you're a bull or a bear, you choose the direction. For up-to-date pricing and performance, go to direction.com. Investing in the funds involves significant risk and should only be utilized by investors who understand the impact of leverage and actively monitor their portfolio. They are not designed to track the underlying index for more than a day. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at direction.com. Read carefully. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.